Welcome to Nest Church, and thanks for listening to our podcast. We hope this word blesses you today. For more information, visit nestchurch.com. We hope to see you soon. And remember,
you are loved.
As we start this series, At Your Service, I'm going to start off today with a basic message, a basic thought that the Lord led me to. And I'm going to just be very transparent with this. What's cool about this is, as I was just writing things down, and I have papers of stuff that I have written down, so today is just a snippet. I have so much more things that I want to say, things that are even outside of this. This is just to introduce kind of what the Lord stirred in my heart getting to this Sunday. But it's funny because even as I was preparing this, just so you could see the battle that goes on and the wrestling that happens, it was almost like, I didn't want to do this. But the more I would try to run away from it, I couldn't. And it was just like, God, I know it was the Lord just saying, you just speak this, man. Just stay faithful in this right here and just have this conversation with the body. So I want to have a conversation today that I pray would stir something in you. Very basic. And maybe we'll grow into this in the weeks to come, and we'll see where the Lord takes us. But it started because I was praying, and I was praying for this month and how the Lord was directing us here at our nest. I heard something just erupt in my spirit, in my heart, and I want to be obedient to share it with anyone who needs to hear it. And I'll say this more than once throughout this month. And this is what I heard, that if you've been quiet, for too long, now is the time to serve. That you've been quiet long enough, and now is the time to serve. And that does not just mean in these four walls. As the weeks continue, I really felt that the Lord was saying, tell that person that they've been quiet now for too long. Now's the time I'm going to use them. Now's the time that they're going to serve. And you're going to see what that will be in the weeks to come as the Lord is going to lead you to that. Amen? And I pray that you would open up yourself to that. So as we go throughout this month and we highlight key things about serving, I would love for you to really think about that. Is the Lord speaking to me, and how can I serve within this family? But there's so much more even outside of this and what we do as a body. So I pray that you would open up your heart into that. I want us to see that there is a privilege and there's great reward in serving. If you have served God for X amount of time, is there a privilege and great reward in serving? Think about what it has done. It grows you. It does so much for you. You see God in such ways. So it's definitely a reward. We spoke about Easter, and Lura came up here and spoke about last Sunday, and so did I. We just came off Holy Week. We just came off everything that happened, and you heard about it. You saw it on your social medias. Holy Week was so significant to us, to our Christian faith, and I can't think of any other week where serving is seen at its best, where serving is at its most complete and purest state. When you look at Holy Week, if you take time and you read all the events that took place in the week that Jesus was in Jerusalem, leading to his death on the cross. Just take time and study that and read it. You'll see the heart of God that is after you. You cannot deny it. You'll see that he's running towards you. He's coming full force at you. Yes, you will see the perfect picture of love as you look at Holy Week. And you will see the perfect and complete picture. Listen to this. Of servanthood. There is no greater model in this world that a man, a woman who has ever lived. There is no book other than this that you could read. The greatest example and model of a servant is Jesus Christ himself. And I want us to see that. And I hope you could see just a picture of it today. He first served us. How many of you know he first served me? Can you say that? He first served me. Not only did he first serve you, the reason why he first served you is because he first loved you. Scripture tells us in 1 John chapter 4, 19, that we love. I am capable of loving because He first loved us. First we were loved, so now we love. How many times have you heard me stand up here and say, the Christians that say, I just don't love, that's not the heart of God. We're called to love. Love people. Love God. And you know, we'll get to that verse eventually. But we're called to love because we've first been loved upon. His love for us and His first serving us has freed us. And as it's freed us, it's opened up doors for us to love and to serve back. I want to get into a conversation in Scripture. Here it is. There's a conversation that happened. And it's a conversation between Jesus and two of His disciples. I think we'll have a good time just reading it or looking at some key things about it. It's the two brothers, actually, these two disciples. They're known as the sons of Zebedee, James and John. Do you know what other nickname they had? Does anyone know? I think I heard like three different people say three different things. Anyway, say it again. Sons of Thunder. Okay. Here are these two brothers, and they come to Jesus, and they're going to have a conversation with Him. And they wanted to know something. They wanted to ask Him something. But what they really wanted was, if you read the Scripture, they just wanted to be great. They wanted to be great. Can I ask you a question? Does anyone in here just want to be great? I love like the humble person, like not me. Thank you for being so humble. But if we're honest here, almost all of us have a desire to be great. We just want to be great. Who wants to be great? We read this conversation. We see it in Matthew chapter 20. We see it in Mark chapter 10. They come over to Jesus to speak to Jesus. And as they get to Jesus, they say, Teacher, we have something that we want you to do for us. This is what James and John tell Jesus. We have something that we want you to do for us. And you know, you read that statement like I do, and I could say, how dare they go up to Jesus and say, we want you to do something for us, right? But then I got really rebuked real quick, and I said, Rigo, that sounds just like your prayers. You come up to me, and you spend, I don't know how much time praying, and the majority of it is like, Lord, can you do this? Can you do that? Lord, can this happen? Lord, can you make this? You're no different. James and John come up to Jesus, and that's the question they ask. We want you to do something for us. And Jesus, being the gentleman that He is, He doesn't laugh at them. He doesn't say, what do you want me to do for you? I'm already doing it, and you should see what's going to happen in a couple days. Like, He doesn't do any of that stuff. What He does is He says, what is it? What do you want me to do? And what they say next is just phenomenal. And here's what they say. They say, arrange it. You know what they mean, right? Arrange it. Make this happen. So that we will be awarded the highest glory. Look what they asked Jesus. One of us, I don't know exactly just watch this. One of us to sit at your right and the other one to sit at your left. Now, arrange that, Jesus, to happen. Make that happen. That is, I've read this passage, so that is definitely not something that I've prayed to Jesus for. I haven't come to Jesus and says, Lord, please let me sit at your right or at your left when I get there. I haven't, because I know this passage. I know this passage. I mean, I just want to be there and close to Him. But look what they ask. We want to sit right next to you. I asked you guys this question. Here it is. If you wanted to be great. You want to be great? Today's message is titled, That Question. You want to be great? It's a question. If we answer that, first off, we got to think about it and say, well, that's a bold question to ask. First off, as I read this story about James and John and Jesus, how many disciples are there? Yeah, 12. I mean, there was more at times, but He had those 12 close ones, as we know them as the 12 disciples. How many came up to him? There's two brothers that just came up to Jesus. What this is showing me is that they've been thinking about this conversation for a long time. They've been contemplating, hey, how are we going to tell Jesus this? How are we going to have this conversation with him? How are we going to sit down? When do you think it's going to be a good time? These two brothers come up to Jesus and ask him a very bold question. It only makes me think as I read this passage that these two brothers have planned this and we're waiting for the perfect opportunity to get with Jesus to ask him this question. We want to sit right there with you. Make it happen for us. And they figured, listen, he's here now, and he keeps talking about him dying. So we better jump on this. This is me thinking, right, as I'm reading scripture. We better jump on this now, and we better ask him, what do we have to lose? If Jesus is going to die the way he's saying he's going to die soon, we better get to it. And the first open door, the first moment that we have, that we could sit with him and ask him this question, let's do it. And they come up to him and said, teacher, we want something for you to do for us. What do you guys think about that? Well, what's crazy is this. I read a little bit from Mark, paraphrasing some of it, but what Matthew 20 tells us is totally different than what Mark tells us. The story is written a little bit different. In the Gospel of Matthew, something's added in there that we didn't see in the other Gospels. I'm going to read it to you. It says this, it was about that time that the mother of the Zebedee brothers came with her two sons and knelt before Jesus with a request. Did you guys see what just happened here? It wasn't just James and John. But what happens here now, they also bring mom into this whole situation. And the mom gets on her knees. Eventually, we're going to get somewhere. And she begins to cry out to the Lord. And she says, please, I have a request. Make my sons great in your kingdom. I wrote this down. Sometimes us parents can be worse than our kids, can't we? Things we do for them. Things we say for them. See, I don't know if it was her idea, if she came up with this whole plan. Where one day they were talking as two brothers and she was cooking something up. She goes, I got this. I'll go to Jesus. And you guys just, I don't know. The Bible doesn't give us all those details, but you could kind of feel it. Something was going on at home one time and I don't know if it was her idea, she came up with the whole plan, I know when we could do this, or if they were just too scared maybe to approach Jesus on their own, they said, Mom, would you come with us? We know that Jesus, you know, he'll be nicer to us when you're around. I don't know what they thought. But I thought about this and I said, well, I can't blame them and you can't blame them. I want you to think about this. Here's what James and John does for a question that I've asked you already. Do you want to be great? I hope you wrote that down on a sheet of paper. I hope you typed that out in your smart device. Do I want to be great? Because I want to answer that. All of this is to answer that one question in a few minutes. And part of them wanting to be great was, Mom, get involved in this. But I want you to think about what you've done at times to get the prize. And I want you to think about some of the things that you've done to get on top. Some of the stuff that humanity has done, some of us in this room, is way worse than this, isn't it? Just to get on top. I was laughing. It starts at a young age. These fifth graders, you know, my son's in fifth grade, and he had a field day one day. And I was just laughing because I was in the bleacher sitting right in front of me. It was two girls. I know them both. And they were there, and they threw a competition. I forgot what it was, but they threw something. Whoever got the farthest wins. And now they had to stand next to the thing that they threw. I forgot what it was. Forgive me for not remembering the details. And there was a high school student that was the judge. And, you know, they get a ribbon. Listen, look what they get. Are you guys ready for this? they get a red, blue, or yellow ribbon. One says first, the other one says second, and the other one says third. They don't get money. They don't get A's. They don't get free homework. They don't get free lunch. They get a ribbon. And the high school students, they're looking at other people getting their names. And I'll never forget, I'm looking at her. She has no idea. But she just kind of like, is there? The other girl really won. And they're kind of fighting. And she's telling the other girl, no. And while the judge is there, I'm just watching the whole thing unfold. She's like, I won. You know I won. And look at my feet. She just starts to move it. And I'm just standing there, and I said, this girl's cheating. She's pushing the instrument that she was competing with to beat the other girl, and she's pushing with her feet, and she's arguing with her. What she's doing is she's distracting her before the judge looks down, and she's distracting her, and she's pushing it. I was about to jump in and say she's a cheater, but they're fifth graders. And sometimes, sometimes us parents could get worse than the kids. You know what I'm saying? I almost jumped in there and saved the day for the other fifth grader. And said, you know, you might go to hell for this. And I wanted to. The father instinct in me wanted to save the other girl because the other girl was doing a thing to her. And I said, oh my gosh, it starts at an early age where their heart is already doing whatever they can to be great, to get on top. You would have thought that that girl was going to win a year's supply of free lunch at the school, but she was cheating. She was trying to get to the top because there's a ribbon that says first. And ask me today where any of my children's ribbons are. They're probably in that big dumpster that you go down 75 or whatever it is. But it's because it's in the heart of humanity. I thought about this right now as I was saying this. We come from greatness. So everything in us wants to be great. Do you know where my citizenship is? You're like, yes, say it's Hialeah, it's great. No, my citizenship is in heaven. I am a son of greatness. So in our DNA, humanity, there's something in us that wants to be great. Yes or no? Because you and I come from greatness. We come from greatness. It's just the way we go about it, where that greatness could turn very evil real quick. They brought their mom, and you can't blame them. There's 10 other brothers of theirs. I say brothers because they're like brothers now. Everything they've experienced, these 12 disciples, and they're in the other room. These are 12 brothers, two of them, James and John, forgot about the other 10. And there's 10 in the other room. Listen to this. These other 10 brothers, these other 10 disciples, they did life with them. They struggled with them. They cried with them. They laughed with them. They made memories with them. I mean, come on. They saw dead people become alive. They saw blind people see. They saw one of them walk on water and then sink and then be picked up again. They saw Jesus do all kinds of miracles. 12 disciples saw signs, wonders, and miracles on the land. Together they experienced it. They too did a lot of miracles, signs, and wonders, and will continue to do it for the rest of their lives. But in this moment, two of them walk away from the other 10. And there's a whole other group of 10 in another room that want to be great as well. Trust me, Peter wants to be great. I bet you anything. But when it came down to greatness, they asked him, Jesus, when you sit on your throne, set aside two places, two seats, two mini thrones right beside you. But guess what? They caused a problem. Because when they told Jesus that those other 10 that I'm telling you about, they heard about what the brothers, these sons of thunder, they heard about what they did. And when they heard about what James and John did, you'll never guess what happened. Rightly so. Oh man, did they get upset. Look what it says. It says when the 10 others heard about this, they lost their tempers, thoroughly disgusted with the two brothers. I mean, I've been mad at some of you, but thoroughly disgusted. Think about what they went through. I'm wondering, these 10 disciples, these other 10 brothers, I'm wondering if it bothered them even more when they found out, what? And they took their mom? Their mom went with them? They involved her? Did you think, James and John, that by bringing mom, that he was automatically just going to give you the two seats in heaven, one right next to him? Can you imagine this scene? Like, I want you to put yourself in this text and just be there with them. Like, this is fun. This is like every day in our life. This is stuff that goes on all the time. This is stuff. This is the church in its beautiful state. You got people just mad at each other. And then Jesus is like, you're all in the same team. Why are you fighting? And they're all fighting. They're all arguing. I'm going to make a point, obviously. Just building. It's just one point today because we have four more weeks to talk about this. But I'm asking you if you want to be great today. Hey, do you want to be, here's some things to ask. Do you want to be a great church? Do you want to be a great leader? Great leader, not just a leader, a great leader. Do you want to be a great, do you want to have a great platform? Be careful what we call platforms, but that's a whole other teaching, we'll get there. Do you want to have great relationships? Maybe with the person right there sitting next to you. Do you want that from being average to become great? Do you want to have a great position? I mean, I could go down the list of how many things you may want to be great in or have greatness in. So the disciples ask of greatness, of let us sit there. Jesus says to sit at my right and at my hand. The Father decides that. But I think what Jesus is doing is like, let me tell you, and hopefully you'll see that I'm not just telling you, but let me show you how all of this stuff works. And this is what Jesus is going to do. Do you want to be great? Really, James? Really, John? You want to be great? Let me tell you how this works. Matthew 20, Mark 10 gives us a little dive into what this looks like. You know, before we get into some things that Jesus says, a little later on, something very similar like this happens, and we find it in Luke chapter 22, if you're taking notes. Listen to this. Jesus, the disciples, they're having their last moments together. They're telling stories of the last 3 years together. You could just think about that. They're there. They're having the Lord's Supper, their last meal together with Jesus. Do you think this was a beautiful day, a special day? I think so. They're celebrating the Passover meal. They're laughing together. I want you to put yourself in this story. They're crying together. And I could just imagine one of them standing up. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You remember that time when you called Peter Satan? Tell that story again. And they're all looking at Peter laughing like he called you Satan one time. They're making fun of you. They're laughing. They're talking about serious things. They're talking about when Lazarus resurrected from the dead. You could just imagine what this last meal together looked like. I know how mine would look like with some of my friends. It would be beautiful and then funny, and then it would be all kinds of different emotions. This Last Supper, it was an important night. And Jesus takes the opportunity to talk about something serious, and he wants to teach one last thing before he goes. And I know that it was on his heart for a long time as well. You know why I know? Look at this. Luke 22:15. I'm going to wrap all this up in a moment. Luke 22:15. This is what Jesus says. He says, I have been very eager, you see that word? To eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. Jesus is telling them, I've been looking forward to this night. Jesus is saying, you have no idea how much I've looked forward to this moment with you. Let's read what he's going to tell them. We're going to read 16 to 20. Just pay attention to this. For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. He took a cup of wine. He gave thanks to God for it. And then he said, take this and share it among yourselves, for I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come. He took some bread and he gave thanks to God for it, and he broke it in pieces and he gave it to the disciples, and he said, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This is important things. We're talking about the blood and the body of Christ here. We're not just talking about, oh, wine. No, the blood and the body of Jesus. And he's teaching on this. And he says, after supper, he took another cup and he said, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice to you. I mean, this is a shh moment. This is a moment where all the fun stops now, because now Jesus is being very serious and he's talking about his sacrifice for them. His blood is going to be shed. I want you to see how important this moment is in Scripture. What a moment this was. You know how I always say there's certain stories in Scripture that I wish I could just be at? This is one of those, right? If I could just be at that table when Jesus was having his last conversations, his last teachings, and this moment right here with his disciples, what a moment this was. What a moment. Everyone say, what a moment. Immediately after that moment, verse 24, put it on the screen, watch this. Immediately after what a moment, this is what happens. Then they began to argue among themselves about who would be the greatest of them. Guys, I'm not making this stuff up. It's in the text. You know what they wanted? Jesus is saying, I'm going to die. Blood is going to come out of me. And they're like, I want to be better than you. And Jesus is like, guys, I'm dying. And they're like, but we want to be good and great. Before you go, where is this going to go? There was a greatness that was desired in them. Within minutes, one translation says, they were bickering over who of them would end up the greatest. One translation says, they were bickering. Who do they sound like? Bickering and arguing. Who do they sound like? And bickering. Someone said us. All right, I'm going to go back to this. They sound like kids, man. They sound like kids just bickering and arguing. Who wants to be the greatest? There's something in every single one of our hearts that wants to be great. I believe this. Something that longs for recognition. I believe that man wants to be recognized. As humble as we are, not me, I'm good. I'm in the background. Ignore that person in the background. I know, I've been a pastor for 16 years. Ignore that person in the background for a little while, and you'll see that they were really never in the background. Everyone wants a little bit of recognition. The person in the background, can I get an amen? All right. Everyone wants a little bit of recognition. Everyone wants it because you want to be great. You want someone to notice your greatness. Especially if you do it for God, right? Yeah, man, I hope they notice it. It's in all of us because we're human. And I'm not here to tell you I'm exempt of that. It's in all of us. There's something that desires to have even a great position. You want to be great. So what does Jesus do? Here it is. I'm going to now start wrapping this up. Here it is. All to get to this point. What does Jesus do? In moments like these, and in a moment like this, where does he take this conversation with James, John, and their mama? Where does he take this conversation with 12 disciples who are bickering and fighting about being great? What does he do? Let's read. Mark chapter 10. Look how Eugene Peterson words it, since I'm having more of a conversation today after spending 12 weeks of the book of Ecclesiastes, verse by verse. I'm having a conversation today. I'm enjoying this today. Look how Eugene Peterson puts it on the Message translation. He says this, Mark 10, Jesus says, you've observed how godless rulers throw their weight around. And he said, when people get little power, how quickly it goes to their heads. It's not going to be that way with you. Church, come on. Listen. Do you want to be great? Yeah, you do. So Jesus is going to answer that question. Jesus is going to answer your plea to him. Lord, make us great. Here it is. Here it is. He says, when people get a little power, you've seen the world, it gets to their heads. But guess what, church? It's not going to be like that with you. Here's what he says next. Whoever wants to be great, you're the one that nodded your head and said you wanted to be great. I tried to force you to do it, but anyways, you nodded your head and you said it. But whoever wants to be great, these are Jesus' words, not my words, no one else's words. What does the Lord say? You want to be great, you must become a servant. Oh, I was hoping for an amen on that one, for the greatest servant. Whoever wants to be first, come on, we want to be first. Who runs a race to say, today, I've trained my whole life for this moment, and my goal is to get 99th place? What? You run a race to place. My daughter had a competition, as you guys saw through my social media feed. Forgive me, I was being a proud dad. I just want her, I want to be great. But I want you to know a little bit about my dad was there. And it was a 4-hour drive to get there. And I said, listen, she hadn't placed yet. The greatest she got was 3rd place. So I said, we're driving 4 hours over there, competition, 4 hours back. We're going to get home really late. Then we have basketball the next day. I said, if we're driving all this, there has to be a 1st place position. We got to win this whole thing. We can't drive all the way to Tampa and not win this thing. I was, my dad and my nan were all talking. No, it's all about fun. It is. It's all about fun. Dads, moms, dad, grandparents. It's all about fun. Until it's not. Until you open up the thing and you start to see, oh no, she's 0.2 points away from 1st place and this is going to get real now. I hope the other girl trips. And you start thinking these thoughts. You start thinking these thoughts and the Lord starts to convict you. I'm like, that's not the way to the top. You see what we do when we want to be great? See how we start humble and in the car ride we can start like, as long as you have fun. 3 hours later, Jade, you're 0.2 points behind. You better make that. What happened to the fun? This is who we are, guys. This is who we are. And Jesus says, you want to be great, you got to be a servant. You want to be first. You want to get first? Here it is. You must be a slave. That is what the Son of Man has done. He came to serve, not to be served. And he came to give away his life in exchange for many who were held hostage. Oh my God. Among you, it will be different. Those who are the greatest would take the lowest rank. The leader should be the servant. Look at verse 27. Put it on the screen. Look at verse 27. He says this. Who is more important? The one who sits at the table or the one who serves? The one who sits at the table, of course, right? And Jesus says, not here. For I, man, this is crazy. He says, look at me. Jesus says, I among you is as one who serves. He has his apron on. He has his towel. He says, I'm here to serve everyone at the table. Who's greater, church? The one who's greater is not the one who's being served at the table. Though they sit there in their gluttony, eating, drinking, enjoying life. But Jesus says, no. The greatest one is the one that is serving them. The slave, the servant, the one who chooses to be a slave to another is the greater one. All right, here it is. Why would Jesus call any of us to be a slave? Aren't we against that stuff? That word slave in the Greek, it's a word, diakonos. What does that word sound like? Diakonos. It's the word that we get deacon from. People want a position, a title, a recognition. Be a deacon. The hardest, the most complex is a deacon. Because that's what God's called all of us to. A deacon is someone whose mind is set to attend someone else. A deacon is a servant and a server who serves everyone around them that is in need, who does his best to do that. And in the early church, to serve the needs of the church, because the pastors of that day were not able to do everything for the church. So deacons, slaves, to the church. Servants to the church had to stand up and attend to matters. A true minister of God. Write that down. A true minister of God is a servant. Who is more important? The one who sits at the table? The one who serves? Not here. For I am among you as one who serves, not here. I'm not just telling you this, Jesus is saying. I hope you see that I'm showing you this. For I among you is as one who serves. Church, here's my question one last time. Maybe one last time. Here it is. You want to be great? The only way to greatness is don't trip the other girl that's 0.2 in front of your daughter. The only way to greatness is just to say, I'm going to have a heart to serve the needs of people, the need of God, the church of God. We're going to get into deeper things, like if you've served one of them, you've served me. If you've served the least, you've also served me. We'll get into all those things. But a true servant, a true minister, a person that wants to walk in greatness is someone who lays down his life for others. And doesn't Jesus say that's what he did? One of our codes here, believe it or not, is just this. It's we set the stage. But we set the stage is about serving God in excellence. And the whole reason behind that belief of setting the stage is because that's what we're doing. We're serving. We're just setting it. He stands on the platform. He reigns. We're the deacons. We're the diaconos. We're the servants. We're the slaves. We work hard to set it for His glory and for His honor. I had some things I wanted to share with you about, maybe I'll start next week with this, about from a slave to friends to He calls us son. He calls you daughter. That now, as a slave, you don't just know what, you don't know what the master's doing, but He calls you friend. Now, you're a co-laborer. You work with your master. He calls you friend now. I like this quote by John Wesley. He says, looking back on his conversation in later years, described it as a time when he exchanged in his life the faith of a servant for the faith of a son. He recognized, wait, I'm not just a slave to be a slave, but I have this opportunity because I'm also a son of God. There's a lot that we want to share today, but I want to ask you three reflection questions, three questions to end. Can you stand with me right there where you're at as we close up? And as you stand here together, united, here we are, sons, daughters of God, His church. You want to be great. Lord, I know You called greatness in me, but man, I thought there was other ways to get there. And the Lord says, well, here we go. For this month of April, we're going to look at how your greatness in your marriage is serving, your greatness in your community is serving, your greatness in the church is serving. The greatest thing that you could do is be a servant for that other person. Lay down your life for that other person. And Jesus gives it to us plainly right there with His words. So here's question number one. If you want, you could close your eyes and meditate in your heart. And I want you to really examine where you're at. Question number one. What is motivating your desire to be great? Because it's there. You want to be great. I'm sure almost all of you do. But what is motivating your heart to be great? I hope it's to serve God and to serve the needs of His people. What is motivating your desire to be great? Number two, do you need to come to the place, as you heard me open up, do you need to come to the place to serve again? Do you need to finally get to that place where you could surrender and say, Lord, here I am to serve. I want to be a slave. I know that my way to first. I want to be last, Lord. I want to be a servant. I want you to use me to serve your people, Lord. Forgive me for running away from it. Forgive me for hardening my heart. Forgive me for going about it the wrong way. I humble myself before you, and I long, Lord. I long, Lord, to do this right. I want to be great, and I want my service, my servanthood, to be one who is laid down for each other, for someone else. Number two. And number three, maybe this is a calling for you. He's calling you up to surrender yourself to him. Here it is, the last question for today. Do not be shy to ask for prayer. When we do these callings and we ask you to come up here, there's nothing magical. There's no dust that's going to fall on you. You and God, it's just brothers and sisters that come alongside and pray with you. But I'm going to ask you to ask someone, if you have not done so yet, come and talk to me. Or throughout this 4 weeks or so, open up your heart and let's come to the point where we pray about this. But if you need prayer, because there's pride, because there's sin, and your pride and your sin is not allowing you to serve anymore, I feel like that's what God said. You've been quiet long enough. It's time to serve. Let's deal with your pride. Let's deal with your sin. Because your sin can no longer condemn you, because the Lord does not condemn you anymore. Never has. He does not condemn you. So if your pride or your sin that is condemning you is not allowing you to serve, do you need prayer today? Open up your heart for prayer and say, I need God to do a miracle, because I know I've been called to be great and I've lacked in serving. So I've lacked in greatness. I've lacked in greatness because I've lacked in serving. Lord, minister to each heart. If you're in this place today and you know if there's pride and if you know that there's sin, we're going to close up in prayer. But don't wait. I'm not even inviting you to come up. You are more than welcome to come up here and get on your knees. But I'm going to just give a moment of stillness for every single one of us to speak to God and to say, Lord, I know you've called me to be great. I know you've called me to serve. Right there where you're at, start surrendering to him. I'm going to stay quiet for a few minutes. Just you and God. Lord, I thank you for today. Because I know that you're speaking to hearts here today. That they came in here, they didn't know what the word was for this house today, but they came in here with all kinds of things, and today you've spoken to them. And you're inviting them to enter, to walk into greatness. And that from this moment, Lord, that we would begin to lay down our lives that we would begin to lay down our lives for each other. Lay down our lives for you, that we would just serve and serve well. Your pure heart. You gave us the perfect example. May we be that church here on this earth. New Rock opened up. He said, oh, the solar eclipse. I don't know. Thank you for that. It's going to be cool. My God, the world pumps fear. False prophets. Oh, the end is coming. Oh, Lord, make us still in your presence. And let us pay attention to the important things. Let us be great. Let us serve. Let us lay down our lives. Let us be the last to eat because we're so busy caring for so many people. I don't want when the safe food is served, I don't want to be the first person in line saying I will bask in the freshness of this food. But allow us to be a people that say, I will bask in the serving, the freshness of this food to others. So that they would see our good works, as Scripture says, and glorify our Father who is in heaven. Lord, bless this house. Bless every relationship. Bless every family. Let this be a truth to all of our lives. To walk into greatness. That we would first learn to serve and be a slave. We thank you. And we love you. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 So this is what's going to happen today. Amen. Watch this. Let's do it. But this is what's going to happen. Some point today, some point tomorrow, you're going to see the window open. And the Holy Spirit's going to strike your heart. And you're going to have to decide, am I going to lay down my life for this? Am I going to serve this thing? And that's going to be a beautiful moment because you're going to remember where the Lord is going to say, there's greatness. Go lay down your life for him. Go lay down your life for her. So get ready for those opportunities this week. Amen. Join the church. Get plugged in. But when we're not together, man, plug into others out there. If you're here for the first time, I'm going to be standing up here. I can't wait to meet some of you guys. Get to know your story, get to hear mine a little bit. Come and meet me. I'd love to meet with you. We're doing this just so I would hate to lose the opportunity to speak to some of you guys. But go in his love. You are loved. And hey, last thing, go be great. Go be great. Amen. God bless you guys.